Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Customers are bored. Service providers, chastised by the less than exciting results of their surveys, have put all their eggs in the improvement basket. According to Chip R. Bell, Take Their Breath Away Service is about bringing a new spirit to the service world. Chip is the founder of the Chip Bell Group and works from Dallas, Texas. His consulting practice focuses on helping organizations build a culture that supports long-term customer loyalty. And Chip is co-author of the book, Take Their Breath Away. Chip, thanks for being with us on Edgewise today.
My pleasure.
Chip, in your book, you talk about the difference between good customers and those who are passionately devoted to the brand. What's the difference?
The good customers are ones that we might categorize as customer retention. They're the ones you keep. Those are customers who are loyal to you, but the pinnacle is customer devotion. And the devoted customer doesn't just stay with you. They become your most ardent advocates. They tend to be much more forgiving when you make mistakes. They want to help you when things go wrong.
Yep.
You think about someone who might be loyal to a Marriott, but devoted to their Harley.
Right.
It's a different level of devotion. And one of the features we found is they're not very price sensitive, because it's such a part of who they are and their identity. They might grimace a bit when they have to write a large check, but their loyalty lies in the fact that they get such great value, they're willing to pay the price.
Now, we're certainly coming out of some bad times, but there are still companies that are laying off frontline people and cutting back on the extras their customers have come to expect. How can you approach this kind of problem and continue to have that kind of loyalty?
The traditional view of let's deliver great service has always been around value added. Let's take what the customer expects and find a way to add more.
Sure.
But what has happened is companies today in the tough economic times can't afford to give away the extras. The customer who might be loyal to a hotel chain used to get the response, you're such a loyal customer, we'd like to upgrade you to our concierge level. Well, now they got to sell that room at the concierge rate.
Exactly.
Or the loyal customer of an airline who say, thank you for flying so much with American Airlines, we'd like to upgrade you to first. I can't do that as an airline now. I got to sell that first class seat. So the whole concept of value added has become very expensive. And the book is about value unique.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't cost you anything. That is, how do I create an experience for my customers that is unexpected? Simple, but takes their breath away. Creates that sense of awe and admiration, not dissimilar from watching a magic trick. You see a great magician. For a moment, you think you've just witnessed a miracle, but you know they practiced that trick and they did it extremely well. It's that moment, creating that sense of awe, that the book's about. And what we find is the little simple things make the biggest impact on creating that buzz from the customer.
Hmm. What's the most remarkable example of Take Their Breath Away service you've ever seen?
My wife traded in her car, got a new car, and a week after she had it, she turned on the radio for the first time and discovered they had programmed in her radio stations from her trade-in.
Okay.
Now, think about that. What do you think she talks about, the car or the radio?
Uh-huh.
She talks about that radio, and Lord, I think what she paid for that car. The whole concept is not something big and splashy. It's simple.
Hmm.
Another one is it's not unusual for your insurance agent to send you a birthday card. Obviously, they know your birthday. Or maybe sometimes they might actually call you on your birthday. But how about the agent that had his little girl call you and sing happy birthday?
Right.
We thought that was one of the most creative uses of child labor we'd ever heard.
Yeah.
It's looking for those unexpected, unique, but highly memorable experiences.
Right.
What you find today is employees who have been so hammered for cut back, do more with less. Now you're doing three jobs where you used to do one, but your pay hadn't changed.
Mm.
To ask them to do more is like, I'm doing all I can, but to ask them to create more smiles, to do that special little thing, makes them feel less like worker bees and a whole lot more like fireflies.
Chip, this mind-blowing customer experience you write about in your book, can smaller companies with less impressive products provide this kind of experience for their customers?
Oh, I think so. In many ways, they have the best opportunity because they have oftentimes the biggest room for being unexpected. Gosh, I'd never expect that from that organization. Mm-hmm. I would never expect that from this kind of manufacturer or whatever.
Right.
So that creative, imaginative response has even a greater impact.
Oh, yes.
If it's a Ritz-Carlton, I'm going, well, of course they're going to do a unique thing. I'm paying $300 a night, or I expect Disney World to do it. That's what they're all about.
Yeah.
But to have it come from Dell Computer, to have it come from Bose, to have it come from Honeywell would be totally unexpected, because that's not a venue that customers look for the unique and unexpected.
All right. Earlier, you mentioned how the economy has impacted employees who work in service organizations. How do you remotivate these employees to get the kind of quality service we're talking about?
The more companies treat their employees like their most important customer, the more that frontline employee is going to pass on that same kind of attitude and style to customers.
Right.
What that means is I need to find ways to engage my employees in unique and fun ways. I need to find ways to listen to them much like I want them to listen to my customers. I need to find ways to seek their input and ideas and suggestions and take the time to say, what are your ideas for improving the experience of our customers? The more that frontline person feels valued, the more they feel empowered and celebrated and resourced to make their lives easier, the more that same experience is going to get passed to the customer.
And is it really true that if you demonstrate loyalty to your employees, they in turn will build loyalty with customers?
Absolutely. The research is pretty compelling. I know I hear from time to time that somewhere in the UK, somebody did an experiment that showed that wasn't the case. But if you've been to the UK, I wouldn't call them the pinnacle of great service. Nevertheless, the research is pretty compelling that, at least in this environment, in this country, the degree to which employees feel happy about what they do tends to spill over into the experience the customer gets. So the number one impact on customer relations is employee relations.
Chip, I have to ask you this question because I know in your broad experience, you've probably seen a lot of examples of bad customer service. What was one of the worst you ever saw? What sticks in your mind?
One of the worst was JetBlue's leaving people in a winter storm on the tarmac for 7 hours. The reason I mentioned them is they did service recovery by the book. First of all, there was a response nationally by the senior leaders of JetBlue that they had blown it, they were learning from it, they were implementing things, and they were very clear about what they were doing to begin to make sure that didn't recur. And I have heard lots of examples of things they are now doing that they weren't doing. They came out with a customer bill of rights, mm-hmm. lots of ways to get more communication to the customer about conditions.
Okay.
Because of that, Business Week this year listed them in the 25 customer service elite. So it was a very bad situation that should never have happened.
Right.
But out of it, recovering their great reputation. Another key point about JetBlue is because they had focused so much on their customer in the past, they had built up a reservoir of trust.
Right.
So they were able to reclaim that loyalty much faster, which is a great lesson for everyone. If you build trust with your customer, when those occasions happen, when you do blow it, they're much more likely to be forgiving, and you'll reclaim their loyalty much quicker.
Exactly. Chip, I've been seeing companies use Twitter or Facebook or the like to get word of mouth out about the quality of their service. Are these efforts replacing the traditional customer service communication? What are your thoughts on that?
I think social media is here to stay. The smart organizations aren't using it to replace what they've done. What they're recognizing is customers today are varied and differ about how they'd like to communicate with an organization.
Oh, yes.
Social media is one avenue, and social media can be helpful to correct a problem in the making. I can provide information to the customer that's very targeted. When they tweet to all their friends about a problem they're having, that I can intervene and correct that before it turns really, really bad. We're starting to learn how to mine that whole social media approach, and it's not just Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, but there are many, many other ways we'll see evolving.
Mm-hmm.
What it says to me, the whole concept of the popularity of social media, is first of all, customers like their communication highly personalized. They like communication that they can have some control over.
Right.
And they like to have the ability to respond in the way they wanted to respond.
Yeah, exactly.
My first experience with social media was when I was about 8 years old. We had two bean cans and a long string and a buddy across the street. And the cool thing about that bean can with that string attached to it is you felt really connected to the kid on the other end of that string.
Right.
The same phenomenon is present in social media. And the more we learn from what it's really saying about our customer, the more we can find other ways to ensure the communication's customized and the customer's in control and we are responding to their unique needs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about small businesses and entrepreneurs? How can they use customer service to compete with the big box stores?
In many ways, today, the smaller entrepreneurial companies have an advantage because of social media, and they can be much more responsive and much more adaptable than the large organizations that have tons of resources.
Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate on that?
Absolutely. We used to have this phrase, customer has a good experience, they tell 3 people. They have a bad experience, they tell 10 people. Well, now, they have a good experience, they may tell 3 people. They have a bad experience, they can tell 3,000 or 4,000.
Of course.
And bring you down overnight because of communication via the net.
Sure.
And that puts an organization at risk to the whim of the customer, but it also creates a tremendous advantage for small organizations who not only can communicate very quickly, but can demonstrate the capacity to listen and respond in a very tailored way much faster than a big organization. So I think it's the emerging strategy. Now I can take on the big boxes because I have means to do that.
Chip, I have a question for you.
Okay.
During the recession, there were issues about how companies could provide great customer service without spending a lot of money.
Exactly.
But I think that situation still exists.
Yeah, I do too.
And so what kind of strategies would you recommend?
I think the degree to which we can create an experience for the customer that feels like we know you, we understand you, and we can respond to your unique needs is probably the most important antidote to the effect of the recession. Create an experience that feels like the old-fashioned village.
Right, exactly.
I grew up in a small town, and one of the things that was unique to a small village is they knew you, they knew your needs, they knew your requirements. You could get the store owner to stay open late. You could call them at night, and they'd go by and pick up something for you. You were in here last week. I picked out something that I thought you might like.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge capacity now to create that same village feeling, although it's global, not local.
Right. Before we wrap up, do you have any other key points you want to leave our audience with?
I think it's going to take some time for organizations to shake themselves out of that cut back mentality. But again, the secret, I think, is the more we include our employees and more we keep them informed, the more they'll help us renew, rejuvenate, and re-excite our customers with the experiences we create.
So beyond the book, how can people find out more about Take Your Breath Away Service?
Probably the easiest way is to log on to our website, taketheirbreathaway.com. There'll not only be many, many resources there, but through that you can communicate directly to John or to me. We also have a link straight to our blogs. We are blogging several times a week. We're tweeting every day, so people can follow us that way as well. There's lots of resources there and information about the book.
We've been speaking to Chip Bell, co-author of the book, Take Their Breath Away Service. Chip, thanks for being with us today.
Oh, thank you so much. I've enjoyed every minute.
As always, we'd love to get your feedback. So please drop us an email at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.